You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Turn the Jets podcast. I'm your host, Will Parkinson, at WillPod11 on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Another episode today, just me, on the talking today, and then we'll have Brad Spielberg in his weekly spot tomorrow and get into some Bills-Jets preview later this week. Wanted to kind of sit on this Jets-Raiders loss for about 24 or 36 hours or so and kind of compile my thoughts here and kind of get into that. And then, you know, obviously talk a little bit about the fact that the Bills losing last night to the Denver Broncos, kind of has opened up this AFC East a little bit more and kind of keeps the Jets in it, as crazy as that sounds. And, as well as Michael Carter being released, tonight and some of Aaron Rodgers' comments today, you know, talking about how he'll be joining the team full time around Thanksgiving and does plan on coming back. Let's start with the game, and then we'll kind of get into, you know, the rest of the things that have kind of occurred over the last 24 hours. Look, I think the biggest thing, incredibly disappointing loss. It's one of those losses that, you know, you hope you don't look back on. You know, I feel this way about this in the Patriots game specifically, the Chargers game a little bit, but, you know, more specifically the two games, you know, here against New England, you know, early to start the year, you know, and obviously last night to, you know, against the Raiders, that you hope you don't look back on at the end of the year and say, damn, the Jets missed the playoffs by, you know, by one game. And if they would have just won that other game, in terms of the reason they missed the playoffs, and it's, you're like, oh, did they miss the division? Did they lose the division? You know, because of that, you hope that's not the case. Let's start from a special teams point of view, you know, and then we'll get into the offense last. Obviously, that's the number one talking point, the offense and the coaching. We'll start with either positive and or, you know, kind of the overall, you know, theme. So special teams-wise, another great game from Greg Zuerlein. Zuerlein's been fantastic since he got here. He's been incredible this year. He's probably been the best or one of the two or three best kickers in the NFL this year. You know, awesome, obviously. You know, he scores more points, you know, than anyone else on this team. So, continued props there. I thought Thomas Morstead, as usual, you know, bombed a bunch of punts. The punt coverage unit has struggled a little bit since Justin Hardy's been out, you know, with the hamstring injury. He will be back this year, but, you know, Irv Charles, I felt like kind of struggled a little bit on Sunday night of, you know, getting downfield, breaking down and making a play. It just kind of felt like every time he kind of ran down there, you know, he got beat. In the return game, Xavier Gibson hasn't really provided much. He started out the year, obviously, with the incredible return against Buffalo. I thought he had a couple nice moves, in the New England game, I believe, and, against Kansas City. But since then, it's struggled. So they got to get that punt unit figured out on both returns and kickoff returns as well. He took one out of the end zone that just didn't need to be taken out. And obviously ends up, only getting back to about the 15-yard line, which you just can't have happen. So that's from a special teams point of view. Don't want to have to get into that too much. Again, they do miss Justin Hardy a lot on kickoff and, more importantly, punt coverage. But we'll get to the defense. I thought the defense played mostly really well on Sunday night. I felt like, you know, the pass rush did exactly what you thought. Quinnen Williams was absolutely fucking unbelievable on Sunday night. I mean, double team, triple team, getting through pressures, you know, getting to the quarterback there multiple times, setting up the other guys for sacks, and the run game was unbelievable. Killed Aiden O'Connell one time, and it's just unbelievable player. Jermaine Johnson, another nice night. Bryce Huff, you know, has the penalty, which was disappointing. It was kind of hard because, you know, he gets pushed to the ground there, and you're like, you know, what's he supposed to do?
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
You know, all that different type of stuff. But again, you know, it's got to be a little smarter than that. It does lead to a field goal, you know, on that drive. Jermaine Johnson, as I mentioned, you know, Michael Clemens, you know, had a couple nice plays in the run game. It felt like at least kind of, you know, forcing guys back at, you know, to kind of cut back. And then CJ Mosley and Quincy Williams there. I thought, you know, not the best Quincy game of all time, but again, all, you know, still awesome. It's not like he did anything wrong by any means. Not quite as splashy as some of his other games, but again, you know, a nice performance. Sauce Gardner has been unbelievable. You know, he started to, you know, I know he struggled a little bit early on in the year, I guess, quote unquote, struggled, just didn't catch a couple picks and things like that. But he's, you know, he's been awesome, you know, all year. I mean, again, we loved him seeing him wrap up on a tackle on a big Josh Jacobs run instead of trying to punch the ball. But again, like in coverage, unbelievable. Had a really big third down stop early in the game, some PBUs, et cetera. You know, so nothing to complain about there. I just thought the defense was really good. You know, I thought a couple missed tackles at times. You know, where they just kind of overran things. Tony Adams had a couple, you know, had a couple mishaps in terms of run game angles and things like that. You like to see him clean up. Jordan Whitehead was awesome on Sunday night. Interception, you know, tried to jump Justin Herbert in a route on a curl route against the Chargers and just missed it. You know, comes up with the pass breakup, doesn't get the interception, got the interception on Sunday night, although I have no idea where Jordan Whitehead was going. He gets up. It looked like he had no idea where he was and started running backwards. Very confusing, but, you know, a really nice play nonetheless. Again, I thought the defense was really good. CJ Mosley's been fantastic this year, probably played some of his best ball of his career. And, you know, age 31 or 30, yeah, you know, 31, wherever he is now. And, you know, just an unbelievable player. He's, you know, I think of him more as a Jet now than I did, you know, do as a Raven. And, you know, he's, you know, in line to probably be an All-Pro for the sixth time in his career. And you hope that the Jets get to the playoffs, you know, while he's still a really good player, because I think, you know, he deserves that. But also, you know, for a Hall of Fame resume, that as much as that might seem crazy, you know, he's very much going to be in the conversation when it's all said and done. And, you know, just a really awesome player. And, you know, he went out for a couple series there and you felt it on defense. Jamie Sherwood did punch the ball out. You know, Ashton Davis with a nice recovery there. And I just like the defense as a whole. Yeah, they get, you know, they gave us some yards. They had the one drive, and you love to see Whitehead, you know, be able to come up with a, you know, PBU there and things like that. But, you know, really nice play by Mayer, and, you know, Connell figured it out. But again, the Jets defense just put in these such brutal situations. I feel like they never have a lead. And even when they have a lead, it's like they're winning 9-3 or 9-6. You know, you'd love to see them play with a lead. They get, you know, they get Buffalo this week, which we'll get into. They obviously have Josh Allen's number. But again, special teams in the defense, I thought, generally speaking, did really well, and not really surprised. I'm going to start with the coaching before I go to the offense, because I felt like there's moments, you know, I defend Robert Saleh more than anybody. I feel like he's got potential to be a really good head coach. I think he's got the right leadership style. I think he fits the 2023 player in terms of how he leads. I think, you know, guys play for him. He's an unbelievable job of building a staff that, you know, especially in the defensive side of the ball, that can develop talent, whether that be guys that are first round picks, whether that guys that are undrafted, et cetera. You know, I think sometimes he struggles a little bit with some of the media questions and saying one thing or saying another. And obviously the Zach stuff's been really frustrating, you know, over the last 24 months, and just kind of, you know, some of the verbiage and coach speak that gets used when, you know, I think sometimes fans or the media, whoever it is, kind of want to hear like the truth. But again, I get it. It's part of the job and you're in New York and et cetera. But I just feel like it's so many penalties and it's always a lot of the same stuff. And it feels like on the offensive side of the ball, there's not really much, you know, you know, kind of accountability for some of these bad penalties, especially when it comes to the receiver spot. I know they have no depth, but Alan Lazard, you know, game after game, it's drops and penalties, and it kind of feels like that doesn't change. And then, you know, you look, CJ Uzomah gets benched for one series, but he, you know, he cost the Jets potentially 14 points after the week before cost them potentially 14 points. It's like, come on, man. You know, and I know he's the head coach, and I guess, again, I know he's the defense, he's a defensive mind, but like, it feels like defensive wise, you make a mistake, you're coming off the field. Bresoff roughing the passer, he's off the field. It just feels like on defense now, I mean, on offense, I mean, look, Michael Carter, we'll talk about it in a moment, did get benched after the chop block, you know, or did, got benched at points during that game. And he has the bad chop block penalty, although I'm not really sure that was a penalty, and he ends up getting released today. We'll get into that. But I just feel like on the coaching point of view, you'd like to see Saleh just be, there should be a little bit more emphasis on not making some of these silly penalties, because it feels like every time the Jets have something good on offense happen, it goes hand in hand with the offense. It's lazy technique, it's over aggression, it's doing some of these different things where, you know, they should have blown the Raiders out. I think that's the frustrating part. You sit there and you go, Zach scores, it's 13-3. Okay, it's on the 1 yard, 2 yard line. They score again, it's 13-3. And the Raiders aren't scoring, you know, they're not coming back there. The Jets are going to probably likely to blow them out 30-6, but more likely than they are to lose. So, penalties are a killer. Again, the timeout thing is hard for me to give him too much of a hard time on, because it sounds like he did try to call timeout as soon as Conklin gets, you know, touchdown there with 19 seconds to go. Not sure how much of a difference that even would have made. That said, you know, it's a bad look when the timeout doesn't get called, and, you know, the Jets have to be better there. They have to know, you know, the offensive players need to know, and they need to be coached up to they able to call a timeout on their own, et cetera. Right. So, that part was obviously tough. Not call a timeout on their own, but you need, like, the refs need to know Saleh's ready to call a timeout there, and the whole nine yards. So that part was tough. And again, I just felt like didn't get off to a slow start, but again, I feel like, you know, from a head coach's perspective, like, you got to figure out a way to get your team to win that game. You know, it's unfair or not, you know, I'm not saying Saleh's on the hot seat. I'm not saying any of that. I just, there's a games, there's been a lot of games where it feels like the Jets have a lot of momentum or need this game, et cetera. It kind of feels like they still have, you're coming up short in a lot of these games. The games where you feel like they should win, you know, they're really good about competing and winning a lot of these games they quote unquote shouldn't. They got to get better at winning these games they should. Offensive side of the ball, this is one of those conversations. There's just so many levels to it. And it's like, at the end of the day, Nate Hackett was hired to bring Aaron Rodgers here. His track record as an offensive coordinator outside of Jacksonville has been pretty dog shit. He's been really good inside the red zone with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers won two MVPs with him as the offensive coordinator, even if he wasn't the main play caller. They get along well. The system does work, et cetera, et cetera. All that's fair. All that's true. It's not here to bash Hackett and say he needs to be fired. He's not going to get fired. The Jets built this staff the way they did, you know, for Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is obviously not the quarterback. They're playing with Zach Wilson. But where Hackett can be better, and what's frustrating is a lot of times, even on the first drive, you saw the highs and lows of Nate Hackett. Really good play action to Garrett Wilson, creates a chunk play. Some nice, you know, stuff to Breece Hall, creates a chunk play. Gets inside the red zone or the 30. It's timid. It's scared. You know, they don't trust Zach. It's right back to, which again, I'm not sure you can blame them, but they don't trust him. And all of a sudden it's right back to conservative run, run, pass, or run, pass, pass. And it's like all, it's just very predictable. It happened, I think, 5 times, if I'm not mistaken, on Friday or Sunday night, where, you know, it's between the 20s, moving the ball, getting Zach on the move, Zach's using his legs, they're getting good, you know, they're getting, scheming some guys open, they're getting Dalvin Cook going. Dalvin Cook's first 3 carries go for 27 yards, and then they give him one more carry the rest of the game. Like, what are we doing? You know, Michael Carter, the obsession with Michael Carter on third down, not understanding why that's happening when you have Izzy Abanikanda, who's a big play threat, you know, as a rookie sitting there, you know, inactive. You have Dalvin Cook, who's fresh and actually looking better, and you're not using him. And Breece Hall, you don't use on third downs in the pass game. And then when you do use Breece Hall in the pass game, it goes for 30, 40 yards on screen plays, giving him options. So don't really understand that. The Jets right now are 5th in the NFL in yards per carry, yet they are, you know, bottom of the league in rushing attempts. Like, that needs to change. They need to run the ball more. I know they're not opening holes the way you'd like them to, but at the end of the day, that's a lot to do with quarterback play and predictability and play calling, predictability and, you know, personnel usage. Again, Alan Lazard has no confidence right now in his hands. You know, you got to get that confidence back, you know, in him. You need him, you know, as the Jets go into these next 8 or 9 games here, or 8 games, I apologize. So, you know, it's just little things like that. It feels like You know, I tweeted it out to, you know, this morning. It's, you know, using Breece Hall on third down to at times, and, you know, maybe Dalvin Cook or now Izzy will be able to kind of spell him maybe on first down, so you can use him on second and third. It's, you know, getting guys in motion, getting Garrett Wilson in the slot more, getting him, you know, easy manufactured targets. Even like the play call they get, you know, the wide receiver double pass, it works, right? It's right there. It's open. It's a great play call. But not knowing on the coaching staff and not communicating that Garrett Wilson had just hurt his elbow and had been out of series, to have him then throw, when maybe you use Xavier Gibson, or you use, you know, Garrett Wilson as the receiver and you use somebody else in motion or whoever it is. I just felt like, come on, like this stuff is, you know, everyone's seeing it. You see Garrett Wilson have to throw it, and you're like, why are they having Garrett Wilson throw? And again, Garrett has to make the play. And I understand, in a couple of times last night, I felt like Garrett, you know, was just a tick off in terms of, you know, coming in with the big time catch. But then he makes, you know, him and Conklin on that last, the second last drive, make these huge third down catches, and Garrett Wilson gets, you know, kill shotted, and he still holds on to the ball. Awesome stuff. It just felt like such a jumbled mess on offense, where like they're so close in so many respects. They really are, but they don't score touchdowns, and you cannot win in this league and not score touchdowns. The Jets should be 6-3, 7-2, could be 8-1, right? Like, you look back and you're like, damn, like this team could be the 1 or 2 seed right now in the AFC, and they don't score touchdowns, and it's got to change. You know, the 40 plus drives in their own territory without scoring a touchdown. It's 30 plus total drives. So back to the Giants game, they haven't scored a touchdown. It's field goals. It's still this one play, good penalty drive over, good sack drive over, good drop drive over. And it's like this one mistake per drive can't be killing you, can't cripple you. And look, the quarterback is limited. The quarterback was not the problem fully on Sunday night. He played decently at times. He, you know, missed some other throws, and, you know, obviously throws the horrible interception at the end. But, you know, that Rodgers talked about today, that, you know, Zach may have not made the right read. He should have gone left to right, 3-step on the left, 5-step on the right, and, you know, kind of just didn't make the right call on that throw. The bigger overarching issue is, again, the personnel usage. It should always be Conklin and Ruckert, you know, from an offensive perspective at tight end. Uzomah should be tight end 3. You know, I've been advocating it should be Izzy activated, you know, Michael Carter down. Obviously, we'll get into that in a moment, but that's what they end up doing there. You know, in terms of wide receiver, getting Garrett Wilson in the slot, using Dalvin Cook and Breece Hall at the same time, we're rolling out Zach, letting him use his legs. I mean, Zach had the most typical Zach Wilson game in a lot of senses, where he makes the bonehead error he's made 3 years in a row. It's the same interception. He's literally thrown this interception every time, and it ends up killing them. But he also makes, when this crazy Hail Mary attempt that almost works, he's got the no-look pass to Alan Lazard that Lazard tried to drop 3 times because he's no confidence in his hands, and, you know, makes another play to Conklin, his jump throw and a stick nod route, you know, with about 40 seconds left in the game. And it's just awesome, you know, throw and catch. And it's like, it's there. And you see potential with this offense. Again, is this the best offense in the world? No. They should be a lot better than they are right now. They should be like league average. They should, and if they're league average, they could win this division. Like, that's where it comes down to. And again, Aaron Rodgers, we'll talk about it in a second, you know, talks about, you know, he's coming back in a month, and it's like, they got a 4-game stretch here. You got to go 3-1. You know, can you go 4-0? Probably not. Can you go 3-1? You know, maybe. And you had a shot here. So, you know, the offensive, you know, struggles have been brutal. They go up to Buffalo this week. They got to figure it out. We'll see what they do with Dwayne Brown. I suggested, hey, maybe the last couple of weeks have been working Dwayne Brown at right guard, trying to get him right and figure out if he can pull a Jason Peters from the last couple of years and, you know, transition inside. Or, you know, Max Mitchell played one of his best games as a pro, you know, on Sunday night. Max Crosby is one of the 3, 4, or 5 hardest, you know, matchups you're going to find as an offensive lineman. And, you know, he did a fantastic job on Max Crosby. And, you know, Mekhi backed in, other than one rep, you know, played decently. Other than 2 reps, I apologize, had one missed in the run game, one missed in the pass game on that third down when people were very upset. It was 3rd and 1. They ran it, you know, 2nd and 1, 3rd and 1. They ran it both times. You know, I thought Xavier Newman looked better live. I went back and watched it, you know, not quite as much. But again, it's a guy who's filling in a tough spot. Joe Tippmann was awesome. You know, no pressures allowed. Lakin Tomlinson, you know, was kind of what Lakin's been, you know, with the Jets. So I guess at the end of the day, you look back at the offense and it's just like, it's just frustrating because you see so many glimpses where you're like, wow, it's clicking, it's working, especially between the 20s. It's over and over again, it's the same stuff. It's clicking, boom, mistake, penalty, drops, all these different things, missed reads, missed throws by Zach, bad sacks taken, all these different things. Like, that just keeps coming down to the same issues where they got to get it fixed. And They made a move today. You know, we'll get to it now. They made a move today. They end up releasing Michael Carter. It seems like one of those situations where, hey, we're going to make Izzy active. We're going to, you know, put you to the, you know, the inactive list. And Michael Carter probably went to them and said, hey, I'd rather just be released than sit on the healthy inactive list. So, again, I don't know that, but it kind of seems like as if that's, you know, kind of the direction the Jets end up going in there. So, you know, hard to blame him. The guy that played well as a rookie, you know, and kind of since then, since he gets a sprained ankle late in the year against the Dolphins, came back for that Bucs game, had a couple nice runs. But ever since then, it's just, you know, hasn't really worked. You know, struggled, you know, gotten stuff with Twitter out with the fan base and, you know, well liked in the locker room. But, you know, lost reps to Breece, lost reps to Dalvin Cook, you know, was going to lose reps to Izzy. It just didn't work out. And, you know, it's a shame, but hasn't been the same player the last couple of years. So that'll be the first move. You know, you like to see the Jets kind of make a move where CJ Uzama is that tight end three. We'll see if that works. You know, again, play action, get Zach on the move a little bit, let him use his legs this week against Buffalo, you know, and feature maybe two back sets, be able to feature Garrett Wilson some in the slot, be able to, you know, kind of, you know, move the pocket around and just try to get some spark going. And, you know, one other thing the Jets haven't really done a lot, they did it once or twice, but they never seem to really throw towards the end zone. It's always a lot of, it's very rare. We saw it a couple times, maybe in the Kansas City game. We saw it once or twice, obviously the actual touchdown passes, but, you know, one or two shots to Garrett Wilson. It's just, you'd like to see them take one or a couple more shots. Is that bringing up a Jason Bradley and having him be a 50-50 ball guy once or twice a game inside the red zone? You know, not sure what the answer may be, but the Jets have got to do a better job on offense because they got a stretch here where, you know, Aaron Rodgers talked about it on Sunday night. Well, Melissa Stark talked about it, having a conversation with Neil Elitrosh, his doctor. And then Rodgers talked a bunch about it today on the McAfee show. He's coming back. He thinks they're going to be in it. He thinks he's coming back. It's the date went from the playoffs now. It went, you know, to then Christmas Eve, as I've talked about a million times. Now it's looking like it could be mid-December, which is, you know, he's mentioned potentially, you know, he didn't mention it specifically, but it's mentioned 6 weeks. And that's as of a week ago, which would line up with the Dolphins game, you know, in Miami. Look, I don't know if it's going to happen. I think he's going to come back this year. I think they're going to be in it. I think they will beat Buffalo on Sunday. And I'm just not in the business of, oh, the season's over because they're 4-5. There's a lot of ball left. They're a game and a half back of Miami. They got two games left with Miami here in the next 5 weeks. They play Buffalo, who they can leapfrog and have swept and basically kind of end any tiebreakers there. They've got, you know, Atlanta and Houston teams that are, you know, frisky. You know, obviously Houston's got CJ Stroud and they're playing really good ball. But again, rookie quarterback against this defense on the road, you know, in the cold weather, what do they look like? Atlanta on the road, they just lost to Arizona. They're a team that they should take care of business. So I just feels like it's a team that, while maybe I'm too optimistic and maybe the judgment's clouded because I think this team is still really damn good and, you know, they've got some issues, but they are still a good team. And maybe it's because the schedule, just knowing that they can take care of their own business here. I mean, the Bills shot themselves in the foot big time. Losses to the Patriots and Broncos when they've got this kind of schedule they've got coming up is nuts. Look, the Jets have dropped some of their own and they've dug themselves a hole. There's no doubt about it, but it's not over. There's a lot of football left. They've got a huge game, you know, game on the line type of, you know, next 2 weeks, worst case, you got to split. You got to get at least one of these, you know, and you got to win probably both against, you know, Houston and Atlanta before you play Miami against. 3-1 feels like, you know, kind of the goal here. Again, I'll talk more about Brad about this tomorrow and we'll talk more about it when we preview kind of this Bill stuff later in the week. But overall, obviously an incredibly disappointing Sunday. You let one slip away. It's a team I feel like they should have blown out based on the way the game was going, and obviously let them hang around. You have your chances, and, you know, it doesn't end up, you know, you don't take care of business, and now Michael Carter is out of a job, and, you know, he might not be the only one, we'll see, and it just feels like a team that needs a W. They need the ball go through the hoop. They need their shooter that's in such a bad slump on offense, and, you know, the defense is going to keep grinding with you, but got to give them some hope. And we've seen, you know, where this offense has struggled and, you know, the defense is trying, but then all of a sudden they get the spark. You know, we saw it in the Chiefs game, you know, we saw it some in the Patriots game. We've seen it before, even the Eagles game, where it's like the defense just wants a shot. They want to know that, like, they're going to keep getting you the ball back and you're going to actually score points and do these type of things. So, you know, kind of said a lot there, obviously, kind of in recap, you know, defense was really good on Sunday night. There was a lot left to be desired from the staff and the offense, obviously, and they lose a heartbreaker in a tough game, but the season's not over. Michael Carter obviously gets released tonight. Izzy Abanaconda will, you know, be promoted, and Wait to see what the rookie with 4.2 speed will look like. We'll talk a little bit more about him as the week goes on. And obviously Rodgers again hinted at, you know, being around the team, didn't hint that, said he'll be around the team, you know, full time around Thanksgiving, not, you know, flying back and forth, and, you know, very much plans to be the Jets to be in it and for him to come back this year. And a lot of exciting stuff ahead. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Appreciate everybody for listening. Enjoy the rest of your night.